Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the Super Rugby AU Round 2 and Super Rugby Aotearoa Round 1 preview brought to you by New Zealand Sports Radio. Hi, I'm Paul and I'll be your host with the most this evening. Joining me is Cornflake. How are you doing, sir?
I'm the guest with the best opinions. Yes. There we go.
It's going to work.
Double whammy. We're on fire to start off already. Look at that.
Oh, Jimmy. So, this is your second time doing this because obviously you've done it on your own channel, on the Cornflake channel already, with Shane, who we had here on the standoff show last night talking NRL with Brad. So you can go and see if Cornflake has changed his mind in the last 2 hours between doing it then and, or 4 hours as to between then and now. But hey, let's get straight into it because we have got four whole games to get through this week. Hey, wow. Kicking us off, we have the Highlanders versus the Crusaders. The list for the, Solomon Alamalo comes in at fullback for the Highlanders. His first game, or his first competitive game for them. Connor Gunbash up on one wing. Punavai and Tomkinson are in at the centres with Nariki on the other wing. Mitch Hunt and Aaron Smith are going to be running things for 9 and 10. In the pack, the front row will be Leonard Brown, Dixon, Tokalahi with the other Dixon, Josh and Jack Regan in the engine room. And then back, a loose trio of Frizzell, Harmon, Billy Harmon, again, his first game for the team, and Michele Tu'u. The man in the straw hat has decided to join us as well. How are you doing, Stephen?
Well, very good. Thank you, gentlemen. And right on cue, too.
Well, you're a bit late, but hey, we'll let you off. These old fellas can't tell the time properly. That's the problem. Quickly with the bench there. Coltman, Honeck, Thwaites to the front row. Evans, Liam Squire, Fukutava, Josh Awani and Hugh Renton. And I guess for me, guys, the one surprise here is seeing Josh Awani on the bench and not starting at 15 with Solomon Alamalo getting the nod there. Cornflake, this is your team. Your thoughts on the lineup?
Strong, good. Trying to think of some spectacular words. Look, our biggest strength is going to be the back row headache that we've kind of been building up as in the preseason, is it? How good is it going to be to have a guy like Liam Squire come rumbling on later on the match to replace whoever's playing the most average out of Frizzell, Harmon or McAlee too? What's going to be interesting is what we get out of Billy Harmon, though, I think, because the former Crusader up against the Crusaders, game one, new team, new jersey, he's going to be an interesting one. And of course, like you said, that number 10, Mitch Hunt, I think, he's come a long way in the last couple of years. If you had said to me last season or even, the season before, I would have gone, oh, no, Ioane, no question. It's got to be Ioane starting in 10. But Mitch Hunt's really put his hand up, I think, over the last 12 months, definitely, and has become a pretty solid number 10 at this sort of level for the Highlanders. He's molded quite well for the team, so can't complain about that. But I'm excited to see, you know, obviously something's come out pretty good from the preseason for Connor Garden-Bashup to be getting that number 14 jumper. And it's also exciting to see Solomon Alamalo at that. Well, any jersey, I don't care what jersey he wears, as long as it's got two digits on it, you know, he's going to be exciting and explosive, and he's going to make things happen. So it's a good start. I think built-wise, this team is building depth, you know. It's getting better. I think the fact that we have a lot of those guys who can, you know, start or come off the bench is only going to be good for this team. But it's a baptism of fire in the opening round, isn't it, against a team like the Crusaders. So we'll see. But yeah, team-wise, on paper, looking at just the squad, it's a good start. And Jack Regan, the Irishman, good to see him there.
Talking of fire, obviously the sofa burning ceremony, and Aaron says you're back from University Oval. So good to see that, yes, after you've done that, you've made it back in time. Good evening, Simon, everyone else here in the live chat. Good to have you there. You're right. I mean, look, Highlanders bench with, you say, Liam Squire, Joshuani, both All Blacks. That's, something that you guys haven't had the luxury of in recent seasons. The strength in depth, as you said, particularly in that back row, but in other positions as well, is definitely a step up for the Highlanders this season, which is great to see. For me, the only question is how quickly they gel in there. Up against, obviously, the reigning champions in the Crusaders with Will Jordan, Sevi Reese, and Lester Fainuku on the back three. Goodhue and Dallas McLeod in the number 12 jersey there. Bryn Hall, Richard Mwanga in 9 and 10. Across your front row, Moody, Taylor, and Alalatoa with Scott Barrett and Whitelock in the engine room. Scott Barrett as captain there. Blackadder, Christie, Cullen Grace as your back, as your loose trio. Off the bench, Brady McAllister, Bauer, Fletcher Newell, Strange, Havili, Sione Havili, that is, Drummond, Burke, and Fayaaki. Stephen, good to see that Will Jordan's injury has been overcome and he can get on the pitch.
Yeah, great to see. Listen, just before we step away from the Highlanders team, one interesting feature that stood out straight away when I saw the naming of the side was the bench split of six forwards and two backs. Guys, Hugh Renton wearing that number 23 jersey. So just the two replacement backs there with obviously the likes of Josh Ioane, who can play. You can either slot into fullback or into a first five, as we know, and Falau Fokitava, well, we know what he'll bring off the bench. So listen, Tony Brown, obviously under no illusions that they're going to have to front up when they take on this Crusaders outfit. So I suppose before we even look at the likes of the Will Jordans of this world, I think if you can get parity with the Crusaders at in the forwards, I think that's what the Highlanders will be looking to do. And listen, on paper, the pack that they've put together looks more than capable. And if anybody knows the Crusaders game, anybody than the Crusaders, I suppose Billy Harmon will have a little bit of an insight into the way that they play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Having that insight information will be good for them. As you say, and you say, yeah, up front is where you've got to do it first. And as Nocturnal Rights says in the live chat, the Crusaders only got 29 All Blacks to choose from. So it's obviously some All Blacks don't even make it into the match day squad. But a couple of new names there. I mean, I think the one that surprised a few people is that number 12 jersey going to Dallas McLeod there. That's going to be an interesting one. A step down from the sort of quality they've had over the last couple of seasons, I would say, Cornflake.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you look at that Highlanders team, and typically over the seasons we talk about the Highlanders, you look at it and you look at that midfield as somewhere they've had okay players, but no world-beating outstanding sort of guys, you know, the Rob Thompsons and the other C.O. Tompkinsons and guys like that. They're okay. Some have a little bit of a, you know, a red streak in their mind, but, you know, they're not going to set your world alight, whereas the Crusaders have had that on their side with the Crotties of this world and now the Goodhues and things like that. But this is, I think, a little bit of a leveller now, having a newcomer into that midfield up against probably, you'd say, almost the Highlanders might have a little bit of a nudge there with a guy like Punavai, who's had a little bit more time around this sort of level, not much, but he has been there or thereabouts before. So that's something I think is going to hopefully level this game out a little bit more. You may see, you know, the Crusaders having to work around, you know, that sort of guy, or how that's going to affect their play, having a relative youngster. But I mean, you look at the rest of the team and you say last season when they had guys like, you know, Cullen Grace, who was in his first season with them, and he just absolutely blew the world alight. So, you know, I could be stretching, clutching at straws that we're going to have a little bit of a weakness in a Crusaders team, but he's hoping that it might be something they can attack through some big carries through that midfield, and hopefully setting Alamalo, the man who will stay injury-free all season, alight. But this is typical Crusaders, though. That's what they do. They just get guys rumbling through and they just do their job, and that's all they need to worry about. And we were, like we've said, year after year, that's why they're so good. This guy will come into the team. He knows what he's got to do. He knows inside of Moanga's not going to put any undue pressure on him. He knows outside of him, if he gets stuck, he's got a guy like Goodhue who can bail him out. And that's just why this team is up there. Well, it's the best, isn't it? There's no one to compete with them so far.
Yeah, it's and whilst we do have Fletcher Newell and Che Fikai coming in as debutants off the bench as well, we've seen that when they brought debutants in off the bench in previous seasons, like Sever Reese, they've gone on to become All Blacks in the same season. So you look at them and go, oh, perhaps there's an opportunity, and then they end up stepping up and being the best player on park. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Look, Tony Wright said, reckoning that the Crusaders will be obviously trying to do a controlling game and then pull away at the end. Yeah, look, the Crusaders are the best team at scoring from their own half. All the other teams very rarely, as long as they're in their own half, they very rarely score. I had a stats session that I attended on Tuesday morning. So yeah, that back three, especially with Will Jordan to lead those counter attacks, and then with Sever Reese and Lester Vanginoku running in supporting lines, that's our Highlanders kicking game is going to have to be spot on if they are going to try and play any kind of territory game. But yeah, playing at pace is going to be important for them. Any thoughts on Stephen before we head over the ditch to Australia?
No, I think we should almost head over the ditch now, because just looking at that side, it is strong. You want to see the Highlanders turn this competition on its head with a great start, and listen, they'll go in with no end of confidence. But boy, I just look at that back three; it's just seriously scary, and some firepower to come off the bench as well. With obviously George Bauer, who made his debut as an All Black last year, and watch out for Fletcher Newell, really highly rated. He was the player of the tournament for Canterbury under 19s down in Taupo two seasons ago, and he is very, very highly rated young man. Of course, Che Fihaki, we know what he can do as well, but I do question how much game time he's going to have if that back three are running hot.
Yeah, remember absolutely. What happened last time, last season, the first game between these two teams, where it was about 15 minutes to go or so, and I think it was about 5 points in it or so. It was a really close, tight game, and we were in for an absolute cracker. And then the Crusaders absolutely just, you know, said, okay, we've had enough and we want to have some fun, and scored about three unanswered tries and won at 40-20, if I'm not mistaken. And that's just what they can do. And like guys in the chat are saying, you can't sleep on it. The Highlanders need to go into that end with the lead if they want to have any chance of winning this game. They've got to go into that final quarter of the match with a 10-point lead, a 15-point lead, as much as possible, obviously. But you can never go into a close ending with the Crusaders, and it's always going to play on your mind that doubt that this is a team, no matter if they're on their own 5-metre line, if they've got the ball and it's less than 80 minutes or even after 80 minutes, they will still punish you and they can take a game away from you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and under Ray's Robinson, their slow starting reputation to the season has also disappeared as well. So not even that ray of comfort.
Yeah, I was about to say, what Steve said is right. I think you just need a really fast start, get points on them, create a bit of scoreboard pressure, because I think they're one of those teams, even if you stay in the fight with them, like you say, you referred back to last year's game, that they just find a way of breaking you down and strangling you.
Right then. So, yeah, heading over to the ditch then for the first game of their Reds versus Rebels. And some interesting selections by the Reds for their one. On the front row of Xander, Mathy and Topu, who was on the bench last weekend. Blythe and Uru in the engine room. Scott Young, McWright and Wilson are the exciting Lucys. Tate McDermott and Jock Campbell in the number 10 jersey there. with Hunter Possami and Hamish Stewart in the 12 and 13 jersey. Jordan Pataya out on one wing, Filippo Dongunu on the other, and James O'Connor at fullback. Off the bench, Nasser Hupert, Fotikaya, Smith, Wallace, Sorovi, Hegarty, and Vunivalu, who's had his naughty boy slap on the wrist and is now allowed to come and play. But I think really it's that back line combination that they've chosen with Hamish Stewart in the 13 jersey, really a strange one. James O'Connor at 15 and Jock Campbell at 10. Any three players you probably expected to play Cornflake, just not in those jerseys.
Well, how much time are they going to spend in those jerseys effectively on the field is probably the biggest question about. I mean, you can put them there, but yeah, it's a bit like putting Bowden Barrett or Damien McKenzie in a 15 jumper. They more often than not will play in 10. So, they'll run on like that, but it's a bit like how they play, isn't it? Those guys all like to switch around, and it kind of gives them that versatility throughout their team and versatility to their game as well, so they can adjust to how the game's going and how they think the thing's going to run out. But I mean, it's the Rebels, and does it taste a little bit of maybe taking them a little bit lightly? I don't know. I don't rate this Rebels team too highly, and looking at the team they're throwing out here as well doesn't change my mind too much. So you know, the way the Reds are going, the form that they're in, they've brought the big boy up front back on. He's going to have some fun. And it's that big battle of those two number threes that I'm excited to see as well between these two sides. But yeah, the Reds are in full control. It doesn't matter what shirt those guys are wearing. O'Connor will control the game like he did last week. And it's his battle again with his opposite, well, what will be an opposite number 10 in Matt Tamula. That's going to be the real decisive part of this match is how those two guys play, especially the style that Tamua brings. But more on that for the Rebels.
Yeah, maybe there is a bit of horses for courses here by bringing Hunter Possami.
No, we've frozen him. We've killed him. You might yourself. Here we go. He's back.
Sorry?
Did you froze up there. Yeah, you froze up. So to redo that bit.
And that might be why they brought Sami in closer, is that you can be up against Reese Hodge, who's not a small boy in that 12 jersey. Whereas, Reese Hodge running down that channel with O'Connor and Hamish Stewart would have been a different prospect. So maybe that's why they brought him in. Maybe it's a bit of horses for courses in there, which will be interesting to see. So let's rush run through that Rebels side then. Elof, Ulesi, Femi Asuli on the front row, Cummins and Hosea in the engine room. Wilkin, Hardwick, Wells are the loose trio. Powell and Tamua going to run things. Hodge and Illy are your centres with Corabetti, Lachlan, Anderson and Tom Pikus as the back three. Off the bench, Craig, Adel Kalahi, Van Neck, Luetta, Kemeny, Tuttle, Vaihu and Lamani. So, yeah, I mean, a number of, quite a few, you'd expect that quite a few newish names in that back line. No Haylett Petty or those sort of players in there. So, yeah, a bit of I'm not expecting much from this Rebels team, to be honest. Stephen, sorry, go on then, Steve. You're shaking your head.
He's right. Muted himself. There we go.
Okay.
I was going to say, a player that's really interesting there, the 13 jersey for Rebels, is that Stacey Ely from the Hawke's Bay Magpies?
I would guess so. I don't know how many Stacey Illies there are running around.
No, he certainly has.
Not a very common name.
So, yeah, yep, it is. Yep. Stacey Ely from the Magpies who's head over there.
Yeah, well, it's got their former Rebels player, Stacey Ely. So maybe he's played a little bit before for the Rebels.
He played for the Melbourne Rising in 2015.
Ah, there you go.
Then went over to Connacht for a couple of years and has come back again. Yep.
Well, you know, this... Continue.
Be interesting to see how he goes in this company.
Yeah, I'm not sold on this Rebel team, to be honest with you. They've kind of... I called it a bit of a patchwork team. They got strength in some places, but it falls off massively. So you look through the team, yeah, like Joe Powell and Tamua, really, really key. Corabetti as well, Hodge, but then outside of that, it's like Tom Pincus is probably your most experienced guy through there, and he hasn't been around too long either. And the pack does much the same. I like the Wilkin Hardwick well sort of combination, but Cummins and Hosier in the second row, not considerably experienced there. Farmaceli, I'm excited to see him. Ulisi again, if he can stay injury free, will be good. But Iloff, another unknown. So you get one or two good players and you get one or two unknowns. And I mean, Australia's not like the Crusaders, is that we don't sit here and go, well, we're going to have a wallaby in 6 months' time. So I don't know if we're going to get that same sort of strength popping through. But I mean, this is what Australia needs to do, though. This is where they've got to find these next range guys coming through and up to that next level. And I mean, the Waratahs are doing it pretty hard right now, but they are bringing a lot of youth through their team. We'll talk about that at the end and their matchup. But I think the Rebels are a side that are going to be doing, or have to do, much of the same here. Losing a lot of experience. You talk about those guys that they've lost there earlier, Paul. But this, we get to find out. But it's hard, isn't it? It's much like the Highlanders start for them against Crusaders. This is tough because they would have been watching this game last week, the Rebels, and going, let's discover how this Reds team's going to play competition-wise. And they would have watched that game against the Waratahs and they would have gone, oh, crap. We're in this spot of bother now. You know, they would have liked to study it. They would have liked the Waratahs to do better and kind of, you know, put a bit of not knock in their confidence, but boy, the Reds will be sky high now. They'll be happy as any old chaps, and they'll be firing into this one full guns blazing. And you got to feel sorry that the Rebels probably will just bear the brunt of the rolling ball down the hill.
Yeah, and look, if their pack can give them some platform. Nocturnal writes, is it worth swapping Tamua and Hodge around the way that Hodge played for the Wallabies at 10? Look, it means they can have two playmakers. They can play left and right with Tamua and Hodge. So, yes, again, a bit like for the Reds where you've got three playmakers with numbers on their backs, who's actually going to be first receiver? I think you'll see something similar from Reece and Hodge. Reece Hodge and Matt Tamua switching around who is first receiver, who's not, perhaps putting one of them slipping even out to the 13 channel to be that wider kicking option and things like that. So I think the numbers on their backs might not be about exactly where they're playing the full part of the game for those two players as well.
I think Matt Tamua is going to be massive as well, how he plays. We know he's a good enough player, but I found some games last season he would just aimlessly kick, trying to, I don't know, spark something, but just out of ideas or out of options. You know, they've tried charging Reece Hodge through the middle. They've tried slipping some short balls to forwards. You know, they just seem to don't have a second or third plan that just ends up being like, well, we'll just hack it downfield and hope something happens from that. So Tamua is going to be key because if he's on song and he's playing well, kicking with purpose, running at the line like he does very well for a number 10, they will go all right. But if they don't get that sort of mindset game from him, they could be in even more trouble.
Yeah, and for me, it's important that Tamua plays in the dry. To me, as a wet player, not a good option at 10. Steve, should we come home and to a team that's your... A couple of teams that you're more au fait with, talk about the Hurricanes versus the Blues. First up, then we have the Hurricanes with Armstrong, Amua, Lomax across the front there, Blackwell and Scrafton in the engine room, Fifita, Flanders, and Artie Surveyor as your loose trio. Artie Surveyor on his 100th cap as well as captaincy, so big game for him. Big games for the 9 and 10 there as well. Tuamatini. And Garden Bashup, how are they going to go? Obviously, TJ Perinara and up in Japan, and Bowden Barrett also left as well. But at least they always have that get-out-of-jail option of Lamapi in 12 and then Proctor in 13. Julian Surveyor gets the nod in the 11th jersey, rolling back the years. Houston on the other wing and Jordy Barrett at fullback off the bench. Riccatelli, Namai, Fidau, Princep, Karifi, Campbell on debut, Peter Emanuel-Jensen and Rayasi, who I must admit I thought I would have had in that 11 jersey. Stephen, you're shaking your head at some of my pronunciations, I think.
No, I'm just shaking my head at the quality of the bench of this Hurricane side. Man, they've got some. It's pretty handy when you've got both Rayasi and Peter Emanuel-Jensen on the bench, and also we know what a talent that Luke Campbell, but also we've also got Duplessis Karifi as well, who can, we know what a good seven he is. So there is plenty of options. It's a very strong side, in my opinion. But obviously Dane Coles, who's not in the team at the minute, and once again, really strong through the midfield. I suppose the only area where they are a little bit, well, not so much unknown, Jackson Garden-Bishop and Jonathan Tomatane in the nine jersey will have to step up, read the departure of TJ Perenara. But no, good side. I like it.
Yeah, and with a lot of players playing off nine nowadays rather than off 10, there's a lot of weight on his shoulders. And there's also a lot of weight on Garden-Bishop's shoulders to call the ball out to him when he wants it and get that kicking right. As Nocturnal Right said, pre-season they were kicking ball away perhaps a bit too often, and so the decision making in that axis between that 9, 10 and 15 with Jordy Barrett coming up potentially into first playmaker, as we see him do as well, is going to be key for this team. Because look, that's a very subtle pack. That pack has played together a lot. They should be good at the breakdown. They should be good. They should be able to get, perhaps don't have the grunt of some teams, but they're still but it's a pack that should work well together. And as you say, they shouldn't dip at the hour mark when the bench comes on either. So yeah, look, a lot of people not rating the Hurricanes this year. I think they're perhaps people being a little bit too harsh on them. I think they've got a decent side in there. Corflake, any kind of comments before I go head up north to the Blues?
Well, you've pretty much hit everything on the head that I'll probably pinpoint on this sort of team. A mobile pack, probably adding to what you're saying before, it's not a big, digger rumbling through. These guys get around the park very fast. If they get open play, they're very good in support. And, they can, by themselves, on a half break, they can make something happen and put points on the board. So guys like, especially Fifita and Salvia will get around the park. They've got a real engine room of that second row, isn't it? It's guys, like those journeyman guys that just do their roles. They just scrum well, they hit rucks, and they win lineouts. Scrafton and Blackwell, I think, their stocks have gone up fairly well just by working and doing what they do. They're not flashy, but they do those jobs very, very well. So it's a solid pack that's generally not going to let you down at doing the things that they are there to do. So that's what it's going to be. Yeah, that 9-10 is a problem. But I mean, look at the other side of the park and there's equal problems on the other side. But I do think they probably needed 12. As great a player as Laumapi is, don't get me wrong there, but they needed 12. That's probably more of a game controller, like a Ryan Crotty sort of player that would make things happen and demand the team around in space of having not a very experienced 10. Laumapi will just sit out there and wait for something to come his way rather than actually making something happen. I think that could be where things get a little bit disjointed. But what I did find interesting about this matchup is they're touting it now on social media as a battle of the brothers. So you got, the two Savias on one side and you got the two Ioannis on the other side. So, there's a little bit of interest, the brother battle. There you go.
the Hurricanes used to be because they obviously they're Billy Proctor's brother. Where they had two Garden-Bishops. I mean, yep. there was a couple of they practically threw a whole team of them. Nocturnal Rights ask us, will Fifita stay tight or go wide? My guess is that they'll play Amua and Fifita wide, and Ardie Surveyor staying central because he's captain and that leadership. I guess that is also another issue here of Reid Princep, not really a lock, is he? And yet he's the locking replacement. So I guess Fifita might move into the locks if Princep comes in, if one of those locks has to go off. So we might see Fifita start on at six and then move into the four or five jersey.
Isn't it weird? Something else. Savia's back at seven. He's been playing eight for how long now? I just realised that it's like mixing things around. They could just put Savia back to eight, take Flanders off, put Karifi back into seven, move Fifita into the second row, put Princep in at six. They could completely change things around. The whole dynamic of that whole, two back back rows would be, that's quite versatile. I think it's quite exciting.
Ton of mobility. In fact, that's a heck of a compliment to Devon Flanders that he's actually starting at the number eight at the back end of Mitre 10 Cup. Absolutely outstanding for the Hawke's Bay Magpies in 2020, and as a player that is on the rise. I know we've got some good number eights running around. Well, he's just another one to add to that list, I guess. So, Yeah, it's very interesting. And as on Nani Laumapi, I reckon, I don't know, all the talk coming out of Wellington and Laumapi himself, I think he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder this year, and he's got a bit to prove.
Yeah, it's not going to turn around. Yeah, this pack is too loose. And I guess that's what Cornflake was talking about. Very mobile pack, not one that wants to get into a bun fight. Absolutely, with this one. But it does mean that they can cut loose big time. If the Blues, again, get their kicking game wrong or allow this to become a broken field play game, then this team can really rip that to pieces.
So, I remember a couple of years ago, Stephen, when everyone was saying how we had no replacement for Kieran Reid in New Zealand rugby, and once he retires, we're all down the toilet. Remember those days? What the hell? Yeah, what are they talking about?
That was last year. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? There are some really good number eights running around. And you know, you've also got guys your boy who plays down, who's playing the number six jersey, Frizzell, for the Highlanders, who I reckon he could step into the number eight jersey as well, not to mention Liam Squire and also Mickey Ely too. My God, it's crazy, crazy good.
Well, Cullen Grace is also someone that the Crusaders are talking about being an eight. So we'll see how he goes in that one. He was one of the top sixers last season, let's be honest. The Crusaders saying, yeah, look, he's an eight. That's where he wanted to play going forward. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Moving on to the Blues then. This is one where you're perhaps looking at the bench rather than the starting line going, oh, my word. Lay, Eklund, Lualala are the front row. Tuipulotu is captaining with Kauli Tuati next to him in the engine room. That's a loose trio of Kiriawani, who really stepped up his game last season. Hoskins Satutu, who in some ways people thought was actually going to stop Kiriawani from getting into the side. Now they're playing both well together. And Dalton Papialihi there as well. Nock and Black are they're going to lead the team around the park. Harry Plummer at 12, which is going to go down well with most fans. Rico Wani at 13, and then a back three of Caleb Clark, Mark Talia, and Stephen Perifetta. Off the bench, Tolai is the hooker. Then you've got the two All Blacks props in Carl Tuanakafi and Offa Tuangafasi. Josh Goodhue and Tom Robinson are the other forward replacements. Aiden Coate is on, debut. Jordan Ruru and Tanalea Talia. Oh, sorry. Yeah, again, another 6-2 bench as well here. Stephen Perifetta being a backup to Atari Black if he were to go down. So perhaps the larger, heavier pack expecting to get run around a bit here, Stephen, and that's why they've got the extra forward on the bench.
Yeah, if you kind of look back to a bit of a template to how they played both those games last weekend, very direct and through the middle, and I probably see no change. And once again, it's a compliment to James Lay that he keeps Kaltu Nukuafi on the actual bench as the starter. So for me, a little bit of a surprise there. Also a little bit of surprise that Josh Goodhue, who was very good last weekend, has been overlooked by Kauli Tuati, who we know is a very good footballer, once again very good carrier as well, maybe just a little bit more physical. So once again, it comes into that direct game plan. I suppose the question mark is around Harry Plummer. I'm not absolutely sold on him as a second five, and we all know he's going to have his hands absolutely full on Saturday night, so he'll have to be well on his game. Strangely enough, three first fives in that back line. So there's plenty of playmakers. I just hope they can gel.
Well, that's what we're seeing, aren't we? I mean, the Reds again. They've got three in their back line. We've got the Hurricanes have got two. In fact, perhaps the Crusaders are about the only side that is only playing with one playmaker. Which maybe the Highlanders as well, but since they've got Josh Iwani on the bench. But multiple playmakers is definitely the way that they're going. A bit surprised that TJ Fayani is injured, which is why he is not in that 12 jersey. Also Finley Christie is off as well, which is so a couple of players injured there. that you might have thought would be in the side. So already injury issues for quite a few of the teams early on, because Paia for the Highlanders also out for the season now, which is a real shame for them. He was doing really well pre-season. But yeah, with that carrying duo of Akira Iwani and Hoskins Tutu, as you say, up the middle, those two running it hard is going to be something we're going to see quite a lot there. Some people worried about Rico on defence. I'm not sure. I think Rico came through the age grades in the 13 jersey, and I don't think he's as poor as perhaps some people think, Stephen.
Yeah, it's an interesting point from Stefan. Plum will have Rico to help on defence in the midfield. Like I say, on paper this is a good Blues team, but you always have that niggly little doubt in the back of your mind when you are a Blues supporter that there's plenty of talent there, but they're going to have to hit the ground running. Yeah, you can play that direct style against the Hurricanes, but boy, if you leave crumbs lying around, and if you're not accurate, and you know Artie Savia will get turnover ball throughout the game. I see Nocturna writes right before they'll need a strong scrum. I don't think there'll be too much of an issue at scrum and set piece time, but I think the key for the Blues is just to be you need to be accurate, 100% accurate at breakdown, especially if you're picking and going through the middle. I mean, so you want to try and grind the Hurricanes down. If the game is loose, then it's at your peril, I reckon, and that's going to be the challenge for the Blues. You've got to play direct, you've got to play tight, you've got to be on point.
Yeah, it's getting their breakdown technique right. So going into contact, you have to get down because you're only held up for a ruck, held up for a maul, but you don't want to go straight down, otherwise that doesn't give you time for your clearers to come in. So that kind of that discipline around carrying into contact is going to be key for the Blues, as you say, as to whether they allow players like Akira Iwani and Karifi, when he comes on, to get their hands on that ball. Because that's one place where the Blues could, and it's going to mean Dolce Papali'i has got a lot of work to do, because let's be honest, those locks and the other two Lucys are not known for their breakdown or for their jackaling work. So, yeah, a lot of work there for Dolce Papali'i in that department.
What's going to be key in this game is the position. Whoever holds the position the most is going to have a huge advantage, because you talk about how the Blues are going to play. If the Blues play that sort of direct style of game, the big guy's just going to be rumbling up through the middle. They'll have advantage because they'll be playing that's what they've got the advantage over the Hurricanes with, playing that sort of big boy game. But I think if the Hurricanes hold a lot of position, they're going to be expansive and moving around, and they're going to run these guys around the field, and that's going to tie the Blues out. So whoever holds the ball for the longer period of the time is going to play the game into their hands later on with the work that they're going to have to set their opposition to do in defence. So that's going to be a massive part. I think maybe keeping the ball in hand more often than you'd probably kick the ball away, just to try and assert your style of play on the match, rather than just getting out of your own half sort of jobby. If you're, you know, outside of your 22, just play, run them around, make some things happen. That the Hurricanes, I think they are the ones that probably need to do that more to get that advantage over the Blues. But I do have to say, Paul, comparing Ortiti Black, Carey Plummer and Stephen Perrefetta to James O'Connor and Hamish Stewart, I mean, you know, we're all from New Zealand here, but that's a bit insulting to the Australians, isn't it? Goodness gracious me.
Three playmakers, not necessarily the same standard or style, but three playmakers.
Oh, geez, Harry Plummer's a concern, man. He's a real worry. I like Perrefetta. I think the last two seasons of injury concern of him has really stunted his growth as a player. When he came in, what was he, 18 or so when he debuted, 18, 19? He was really young, exciting. I thought he could be a real star of the future, but boy, the last 2 years have been really, really rough on him. And I think Harry Plummer doesn't have the mental stability to maybe at 12. No, I'm not even going to try and convince myself of that either. No, it's a disaster. The further you go out that back line, the kind of worse it gets. 10, 12, 15, massive problems. Massive problems. La Mape is going to just be having a dream of wonders tonight. He's just be going and seeing Harry Plummer's face in the mud. He's going to love it.
Plummer's not a small boy.
He's big. Yeah. He's not powerful.
Well, yeah, all he's got to do is just get his body in the way somehow to slow La Mape down. It doesn't necessarily, obviously, we don't wish any head knocks on him, but yeah, don't worry about the technique. Just get your body in the way. Dominic Cooper, will the Blues do it this year? Oh, geez, ask the $1 million question or the $5 billion question. Look, the Crusaders every year with especially when you've got Razor as their head coach, come in as favourites. Absolutely, the Blues top after last year's performances have to come in as the top challenger, but they are very much the challenger. Whereas the incumbent doesn't look like he's not the old warrior incumbent. He's the at the peak of his prime incumbent. Unfortunately, the one thing I just want to take up with you on that one, Steve Cornflake, is that the Blues were the team that apparently kicked the most last season in Super Rugby Aotearoa. The only game they didn't outkick their opponents was against the Crusaders when they lost. So all the games they won by just kicking the leather off the ball and forcing the opposition to play out from their own half. So now, obviously, without Beauden Barrett's kicking game, that's going to be perhaps harder to do. But again, they've got three kicking options there in Black, Plummer and Perifetta, plus the box kicking of Knock. I think we're going to see a lot of the Blues trying to force the game to be in the right territory before they actually start playing.
Yeah, 15-man rugby with three kickers. Yeah, I feel sorry for guys like Caleb Clark and Mark Talia as much as I don't rate them. But there you go. No Caleb Clark fan here, I'm sorry. No Caleb Clark fan here. I'm going to buck the trend on that one. Definitely. We got off track here. Going off track here, but yeah, they'll play that game. I invite the Hurricanes. I invite the Hurricanes to throw it all straight back. Yeah, run it back. Run it. Throw it around. Get expansive. Get exciting. Play that game. Run the Blues ragged. I think they can do it. No problems. I do. Christian, why is Knox starting over Ruru? I found that strange. The form that Ruru showed in that last preseason game.
Can I take that one, Paul? It's as simple as that. I mean, it's like Sam
kicking.
In probably the last year, 2 years, has developed his game so much. He's probably got the best high kick game of any player in the country. He's probably got the best pass, maybe bar Aaron Smith, in the country, and that's both a right to left pass. But we saw something really good about his game. He actually got forwards. He was actually picking out forwards who were in good running positions close to the ruck last weekend, and that's why the Blues were getting over the motoring over the advantage line, and that's probably what the coaches saw last week. He's come a long way. He was huge for Northland last year. He was a massive loss when they went into the semi, the final against Hawke's Bay, where Fakatava really was, had no real, with greatest respect to the young guy that replaced him, had nothing up against him. And if you think back to early last year, the first lot of Super Rugby, Sam Knock was in a very good, rich vein of form and then picked up an injury along the way. So I think he rightly deserves to be the number one choice there. We've seen an improvement in Jonathan Ruru that we actually haven't seen for a couple of years. And that's the exciting thing for the Blues. I think they've always had halfbacks that were always much of a muchness, and they got swapped in and out like I have hot dinners, for crying out loud. And I think that was the issue. Nobody got a full opportunity to actually nail down that spot. And I think here's the opportunity right here, right now, for Sam Knock playing with a very, very big pack in front of him. And it's no irony that the Blues pack played so well last year that, if you think about it, probably both Knock and Finlay Christie went really, really well. I put Sam Knock in a similar situation to Xavier Rowe, who I rate big time as real possible challengers to an All Black jersey moving forward, especially with TJ Perenato. We actually spoke about that on the driving wall the other night. They are two players I look at as quality. You know, you talk about players that you maybe not so don't rate and who have got big reputation. Somebody like Fakatava, you're like, to me, the jury's still out on Fulau Fakatava. And why I say that is because we haven't seen he hasn't found his ceiling at Super Rugby level. Yes, we've seen it at Mitre 10 Cup level, but with the greatest of respect, that was at, he played well in a championship final against a Northland halfback who was basically playing his second game of the season and who were basically, were pretty travel weary, should I say. So, yeah, to me, the jury's still out on Fakatava. He's got potential, but I personally think the two covers are both Sam Knock and Xavier Rowe moving forward.
Right then, and we need to get across the ditch, boys, because we're going to run out of time and cover off on Brumbies versus Waratahs. I think we're going to have this, I think there a lot of people in the chat are thinking that Lamapi against Plummer is going to win it for the Hurricanes, but I think the Blues have proved that they're actually the second best side in New Zealand. So I think the Blues are going to come out on top. We'll see. Moving across the ditch. So the Brumbies hosting the Waratahs. I will keep on going, whatever. And the Brumbies side, Slipper, McKinley, Alatoa, Valentini, Brown and Samu, the Lucys. Shut up, the two of you. I'm speaking. Nick White and Lalaseo are the decision makers. We'll have Simone and Ikatua in the centres, and then Hansen, Muirhead and Tom Blanks at the back three. Longren, Lloyd, Ross, Frost, Kuzak, Longren again. So Latchin and Ryan, Rizjan, Pasitoa and Finns, Lelia Wasea to come off the bench. Look, the Brumbies, not the exciting team that the Reds were last weekend, but they were in control and had the force where they wanted them for a comfortable win over in Western Australia. Pretty much a similar side out again. You've got to say, Cornflake, that they're looking good. We're looking efficient, aren't they?
Well, that's the Brumbies. They probably one of the most professional looking sort of outfits around. They know what they got to do. They execute it fairly well, and they don't have too many problems doing it. I mean, yet they really controlled the Force. I think the Force, like I said in the review last week, the Force were probably, I think, the better sort of team. Looking at the matchup, if you took the scoreboard out of the equation and just watch the game for what it was worth, the Force had longer periods of control in that game. But the Brumbies, I guess they defended better. They controlled the game and they took their chances, which is probably the most important thing. We know they're not a big, you know, like say expansive out there try scoring team, but their pack performs well. They control the breakdown. They're good at the set piece, and they just know how to get things done. And I think that little midfield there, Kitau, I thought played pretty well. Might prove to be a crucial player for their campaign throughout the season. I'm not 100% sold on Mac Hansen out in the wing. They seem to like him out there, but I just thought he kind of struggled out there last week against the Force, but we'll see how he progresses. Again, a youngster coming through. He's not the big power sort of player that you're kind of used to seeing rumbling out in a number 11 jumper. But yeah, overall, finishes if they ever see the ball. But a lot of I think, is a key. Nick White, 9-10. Those guys are the guys to get the job done. So we'll see another professional display. I think they've watched the Waratahs last week and they'll have said, we know what we've got to do. Let's get the job done. That's it.
Yeah, I can't see them beat. I can't see them losing to Waratahs, but I don't think they'll rack up quite the score the Reds did. They're not as exciting as the Reds, but they are more organised and controlled. Interesting that the Guardian apparently has had an article where the Channel 9 boss is concerned about the Waratahs' competitiveness. Clearly, he's concerned about his TV ratings there. Any comments about the Brumbies before we move on to the Waratahs, Stephen? Steve, sorry?
No, not really. Whenever I think of the Waratahs or not being competitive, I think back to that almighty thrashing that the Waratahs got by the Crusaders. When was that? Back in the late 90s or early 2000s? God, it was an absolute hiding. It might have been 90-odd points 90. The Crusaders put on the Waratahs. Listen, they'll go out and play with a bit of fight, but they'll just get ground down by that Brumbies team.
This is the preview show, not the History Channel.
If he's concerned about predictions, when you've been beaten by that much, you really shouldn't be concerned about those sort of predictions moving forward.
Yeah, he's concerned about viewer numbers. So quickly through that Waratahs side, then Bell, Horton, Johnson, Holmes are the front row. Caird and Wetton in the engine room. Swinton, Tizzano and Jack Dempsey are the Lucys. Jack Grant and Will Harrison, the inexperienced 9-10. with I'm butchering Tapai's surname here. There, along with Newsom in the centres, Ram, Marky Mark, and Jack Maddox are the back three. Looking at the replacements, Poriki, Faulkner, Tatola are the front row. Williams, Hugh Sinclair, the rest of the forwards. Harry Robertson, Edmed, and Riley are the other replacements. And yeah, look, we have not seen this inexperienced side from the Waratahs for many years. We said this last week as well, and they're going to struggle. Let's be honest. Hopefully Cornflake has composed himself after my awful pronunciations, and I'm sorry, folks, for having a bad day today.
Hey, look, if you want to take a positive, let's take a positive for the Waratahs, shall we? Let's look at the pluses. Here we go. How do the Waratahs get the best out of this matchup? Well, the Brumbies are going to play a different style than the Reds, like you've already pointed out. The only thing that I really see a chance in them is if they are adapting more to that sort of Brumby style of rugby than they are to the expansive, fun rugby, happy scoring tries from all over the field Reds type of rugby. They might be more, you know, comfortable playing that sort of style, that more like we talked about with the Blues, the direct sort of style of rugby and that sort of thing. So, hey, that's the only positive I can see for them. They've lost their number nine. Forgot his name. Key guy. He's out for the rest of the season. Jack Grant's coming in. It's all going pear shaped. No, not Joe Powell. He's at the Rebels. Jake Gordon.
There we go.
Yeah, yep. So he's gone for the season. So it's trouble for them. He was their main leader. But we'll just have to hope that old Marky Mark can do the job, eh?
Well, and look, he's a big boy, as you said. Mac Hansen isn't. And he's up against Mac Hansen. So, yeah, there is a good – yeah, he's got an opportunity there on that one as well. So, thank you, boys. Any last points? otherwise, you will join us. We'll be having post-match reactions to the two Super Rugby Aotearoa games straight after the games, and also join us at 8 p.m. on Sunday to do the Super Rugby review. We'll wrap up all four games in that one. That generally is the show that goes the most off the rails that we have here on New Zealand Sports Radio. So if you like tangential discussions and things, then the Sunday show is for you at 8 p.m. So do join us for that. Thank you very much, Steve Cornflake, and thank you very much, Stephen Harrison. Hope you boys are having a fantastic week. And yes, Super Rugby Aotearoa is almost here.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.